Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm honored to be here, and let me tell you something. If Pastor Joel and I had grown up together, we would have caused a lot of problems, because we have a heart for Jesus that's just, you know, real manly men serve Jesus. I got my man pants on today. God's good with man pants. I don't have any fancy stitches on my britches, okay? I wear man pants. But God likes to take ordinary men and do amazing things. And I want to tell you, I'm so, I just so appreciated already what's happened this morning. The music was just so anointed. And last night, I can tell you, I could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Some of you are visitors and you're still trying to figure out what happened earlier today. That's the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that makes the Word of God come alive in our lives. As a 12-year-old, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. It changed me. It changed me because it gave me power, as the Bible says, to live a godly life. I have literally traveled the world, spoke and preached all over the world. The sad thing is, this is the first time in about 10 years I've heard the gifts of the Spirit in a church service. We've become so seeker-sensitive that we've quenched the Spirit. I don't know if you mind today, but I'm going to be kind of personal. Do you mind if I do that? I'm just going to share my heart. And I like to say, I can't talk about what I've read. I have to talk about what I've lived. And I have no doubt. I shared last night, you know, want to know something? I can't understand anybody who believes there isn't a God. You spend any time outdoors, it's like, wow, there has to be a God. This is too unbelievable, too magnificent. I could bore you with slides and pictures and, you know, just even how an atom is and you know, infinity goes both ways. They have never found the end of the universe. They've never found the end of matter. No microscope can get to the end of matter. And it's so amazing. It's like, I like to say, thinking there isn't a God, that we all evolved by some freak of nature, is like saying this watch. By the way, I have found it's very spiritual to live in Florida this time of the year. And I flew in from Florida. So, Pastor, I appreciate his thought about, you know what? But I've come to love the Midwest, okay? And I remember our pastor used to call us the frozen chosen. We're so spiritual, in the wintertime we walk on water. But I've come to share that I struggle with my faith sometimes. I know there's a God. And thinking there isn't a God is like saying I picked this watch off the beach in Florida on one of my walks. It had evolved over millions of years. And I was just fortunate enough to pick it up after it evolved to a point where it was now functional. Isn't that crazy? You know, they teach our kids in our universities that we spend a lot of money sending them to, there's no God. And they were here by some freak of nature. Guess what? There's a study. 70% of our kids who go off to secular universities lose their faith within 2 years. We sit on a board of a wonderful Christian college, North Central University. I'm going to just give this plug. If not that school, find another good Christian, biblical-based, spirit-filled school. Our Assemblies of God have 8 universities. And there isn't one degree that you want that you can't get in one of our schools. And in my home, I don't believe in democracy. I believe in benevolent dictatorship. I told my kids they had to spend at least the first 2 years in one of our spirit-filled schools, and then they can go where they want, because I wanted them to have the foundation of the God who created all the rules, all the science, and then they can go anywhere they want. Not one kid fought me. I have 4 kids, and not one kid fought me over it and said it was a great experience. So make sure you kids get into an environment where they can grow in their faith and their knowledge, okay? Sorry, couldn't help that, but so I know there's a God, but you know what's hard for me, and the leap of faith for me is my mind can't comprehend that God cares about me, this relationship thing, you know what I mean? And can I tell you the truth, that sometimes I pray and I hear nothing? In fact, the closest I ever came to giving up my faith was at North Central University. I went there to be a pastor because I knew, you know, I wanted to serve God with all my heart. And the big thing back then, if you're called, you're gonna, you know, it's almost like if you really love God, you're gonna be a pastor or a missionary. Okay. And so I went to Bible school because they taught me God's highest calling is to be a minister of the gospel. And so I wanted to go there. And so I was seeking God and praying. You know, I was desperately afraid of missing God's will. And I would pray, God, they say you got to fast and pray and seek God's will, and then you'll find it. Well, for 2 years, I heard nothing. And then finally, I said, maybe this whole Christianity thing is a bunch of just stuff, fairy tale stuff my parents taught me. And so finally, like I love in the woods, when I'm sitting in the woods on a stump, be still and know that I am God. After 2 years, I finally heard God speak to me. And you know what he said? He said, Randy, don't seek my will. Did you hear that up there? Don't seek my will. I thought, God, what do you mean don't seek? What am I supposed to do? Sit around and do nothing? I don't want to be out of your will. And you know what he said? Seek me. I'm a big God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Man, I know those verses. And I said, well, God, what do you want me to do? He says, just put one foot in front of the other. If you seek me first, I'll see that the rest happens. He's a big God. You will never be out of God's will if you seek him first. I've seen him take my life and the life of my brother and other people. When you are really, you know what God created you for? I understand this better as a parent. A relationship. More than all the great objectives you do in this life, at the end of the day, at the end of your life, is there a relationship. It's relationships that matter. And the ultimate one is God. So I said, okay, God, me and you, let's see what happens. Well, the amazing thing, without a college degree, God has helped me. I didn't want to go into business. My dad failed at business. We were always in trouble. The last thing I want to do is go into business. God led me into the business world without a degree. And over the last 25, 30 years, the businesses God has helped me start with the help of some really good people. And I pray every day for wisdom. By the way, folks, we have an unfair competitive advantage as believers. Do you know that? If anyone lack wisdom,
hallelujah,
let him ask.
Yes.
And not doubt. And he'll just say he'll give you a little or a lot. He'll give you a lot. And I'm not that bright, but I know I need Jesus. And it's amazing the help he gives. My brother finally asked God how to make bow and arrows. And anybody know about Matthew's bow, as I shared it last night? He finally said, God, could you help me make bow and arrows? And God says, about time you asked. See, God's a gentleman. You got to ask and not doubt. And he gets dreams about bow and arrows. So in the last 25, 30 years, God has helped me start businesses that have done billions of dollars. I like a quote, I've been rich and I've been poor. Rich is better. There's no holiness in poverty, believe me. I do believe that God sometimes keeps us in a place where we are in need, and because it keeps us trusting him. But this prayer thing with God, I'm just going to be transparent. I don't like the way God works. I just wish he'd do it my way. Don't you? I mean, God give me the 5-10-year plan, I'll nail it. But this trusting God and one foot in front of the other, not knowing exactly where I'm going and what I'm doing, and there's not a day in my life I don't feel inadequate and incapable. What are we doing here? I find myself on boards and in positions I'm looking around thinking, what am I doing here? And frankly, you want to know something? I'm more comfortable speaking at a sportsman's banquet than I'm behind this pulpit, because this is a holy place. And God has brought you a pastor. He's given you him a vision and a word. And our job is reporting for duty. Let me tell you, God gives this man the vision. Your job is to show up. You know who I believe is supposed to lead people to Jesus? We are. Then we bring them to church where they get mentored and discipled. But sometimes I pray and it's like, wow, God, where are you? I mean, I need to know something here. And have you ever heard that Verizon commercial? Can you hear me now? Isn't that sometimes the way it is with God? God, can you hear me now? I mean, I got to know. One time I was in my earlier in my career, I had 3 job offers. And I said, God, I got to know which one. I can't work 3 jobs. And I'm not hearing anything. You know what I felt like when I shut up? Sometimes we just got to shut up. I heard him say, you know what? Doesn't matter. Pick one. I'll bless you. I spent a lot of my life worrying about things that I didn't need to. It's not exactly this perfectly planned path, but it's a path that says, Jesus, I live Colossians 3 every day. God, I have today. Thank you for it. Whatever I do, I will do with all my heart is unto you. Read Colossians 3, whatever you give me. And guess what, folks? I'm going to give you everything I got today. The rest is up to God and what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your heart. Do you believe in miracles?
Yes.
Do you really? Yeah. I would say that too, but you want to know the transparency of that? Sometimes I don't. It's easier sometimes for me to believe in miracles for others than sometimes for myself. And let me tell you the highlight of my whole business career, and I'll try to be brief, because I have a hard stop at a certain spot. But I walked through the office of one of my companies, and I overheard a woman talking to other employees with really bad news. She was unexpectedly pregnant. It was getting all bad news. She had gestational diabetes, and they were telling her that her baby was almost guaranteed to be severely handicapped, and they were telling her she needed to abort her baby. And I was just kind of taken back by overhearing this. And I don't know about you, but I just, sometimes God puts me in places I wish he'd have somebody else there. But I knew God, he just was so strong and just convinced me I needed to go talk to Alicia. And I thought, well, I'm the CEO of the company, man. Guys get sued for giving spiritual advice. You know, it's not little amounts, it's big. I'm thinking all the reasons I shouldn't say anything. But finally, I just went up to her and I said, Alicia, I overheard what you said. I'm sorry. And I really care about you, and I'm worried for you and your baby. But you know what I found from personal experience? It's one day at a time. You trust God one day at a time. And let's see what God has. And I know it's easy for me to say because I'm not the pregnant person here, but let's see what God has in mind. And take it one day at a time, and I promise I'll pray for you and your baby every day. I walked back to my office, and I said, oh, I'm going to get sued. This baby is going to be born with a lot of problems, and her mother is, this employee of mine, her whole life is in danger. What am I doing? What am I thinking? But I said, you know what? I just felt compelled, and I just had to. Long story short, 6.5 months later, she gave birth to a totally healthy baby girl. Today, there's a girl named Nina, 11 years old, because I had the courage to speak God's love and encouragement to her mom. Her mom thanks me to this day. I just got a picture of this beautiful, sweet little 11-year-old girl. Says, I can't imagine my life without my daughter. And I think how close I came to saying nothing. And I realize there's been other times in my life when I said nothing when I should have. It's awesome to be a part of a miracle. It was a miracle. Don't you love being a part of a miracle?
Yes.
You know how God answers prayers? Through his people. We're the Jesus with skin on. Every time God has answered a prayer in my life, it has been, he's moved on the hearts of others. We are the answer. One of my prayers every day is, God, help me to be the answer to someone's prayer today. But you know, when it comes to my own miracles, sometimes it's harder to believe. And I hope I can get through this. I'm going to share something very personal and very intense. We have 3 sons and a daughter. And our daughter just turned 25 on Friday. And our daughter turned her back on God. And there's nothing more painful than someone you love. She's my girl. I love all my sons. I now have 4 grandkids. And all 3 of my sons are married. But my daughter has turned her back on God and made choices that have just ripped my heart out. I didn't know you could feel pain as I have felt over my daughter. I told her, honey, I'd die for you. I would. But I can't live for you. Please follow Jesus. My message last night and my message to anybody who will listen is when you focus on Jesus, everything else comes into focus. I can't be the manly man I want to be without Jesus. Weak men do bad things. Strong men do good things. Only way I know how to be strong is with Christ. My daughter turned her back. It was so painful. We got her into Christian counseling for several years, thousands of dollars, and yet she continued to go down a path and make choices that have been so difficult that truthfully and transparently, there's been times I wanted to die. That's how painful it was. And so trusting God for a miracle for my daughter has been a very tough challenge and a tough, long struggle. If you want to know the truth of it is, I got to the point where I stopped praying. I stopped asking God for the miracle I so desperately wanted. But then I started reading Luke. Luke's a dangerous book because it deals a lot with prayer. And how many of you have ever read scripture? And some of you are first time, and I don't know if some of you here from the meeting last night and you made a first time commitment. You got to get into the Bible because that's how God speaks to us. And sometimes I've read scripture time and time again, and all of a sudden it starts to pop, you know what I mean? And I started reading Luke, and if we could pull up the next slide. It was right after the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says this. This is after he's teaching on the Lord's Prayer, the prayer, you know. Jesus then said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Don't we a lot of times knock on a door and look for help when we get a slam door on us? I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, and this is what hit me, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Shameless audacity. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. It's Luke 11:5 through 10. I encourage you to go back and meditate on this scripture. And I had to look up shameless audacity because something hit me about that shameless. You know, ever had in your prayer life you say, hey, God, it's me again. Here I am, God. I got a problem and I still don't know where this is going. And, you know, I don't want to bother you with it, but, you know, could we talk about this a little bit? So I looked up. Here's some of the definitions of shameless and then audacity. Here's shameless. Flagrant, blatant, barefaced, overt, brazen, brash, outrageous, undisguised, unconcealed, transparent, unmistakable, undeniable. Jesus is telling us it's okay to come to him undeniably, almost blatantly, boldly to him. And then with audacity, boldness, daring, fearless, bravery, courage, pluck, and grit. You think, what do you think Jesus is telling us here? We need to come with undeniable boldness before him. No shame. No apologies. You know what I found out, by the way, folks? God can handle it when you're angry. And I have to confess there's times I'm angry with God. I'm pretty frustrated. And I know he's God and I'm not, but I would just wish he would kind of, you know, get this thing taken care of. But no, I think there's something that God teaches us in coming to him with shameless audacity. Say, God, it's me again. We got a problem here. And I need an answer. And then I read further in Luke, if you could come pull up the next slide. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them how they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" You know what I find in my unrelenting, persistent prayers? God builds up my faith. Now, not only do I need to come to him shamelessly, with shameless audacity, but I need to come unrelenting, persistently, never give up, never quit. And it's in the process of grinding this out and working this out that he ultimately develops faith. You know what? I've experienced God more powerfully. Anybody here lost $12 million? That's another story, but in one day I lost $12 million. How many know that's a bad day? I have a $12 million education, is the way I look at it. But I experience God more powerfully in my failure. I can't take time to explain it than all my success. And that's the challenge of life, is we don't always know when and where the answer is going to come from, but we can't give up. And then finally, if you could go to the next slide, as I was reading further in Luke, This one especially hit me hard because, you know, I grew up in a Pentecostal church. We were not afraid of speaking in tongues. We were not afraid to pray out loud. We were not afraid to lift our voice to God. But it's amazing how quiet, even my own prayer has become more quiet and contemplative. And that's the way I feel like a lot of churches become. But it says this, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowds going by, he asked what was happening. You know, there's a lot of people in this life wondering what's happening. Don't you agree? And sometimes it's me. But they don't realize it's Jesus. That's what's happening. Then they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Isn't there a lot of people just trying to make us be quiet? A lot of things just trying to shut us up. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. You know what God told me here? He says, "Randy, you need to get back to praying out loud. It's not because I can't hear, but it's because you can. And you're hearing a lot of stuff in your head that needs to not be there. And when you pray out loud, you drown that out." So I don't go in a crowded place too often praying out loud, okay? But in my car, I'm not singing the music, I'm singing my praise to Jesus. And I'm saying, "God, I need a miracle for my daughter. It's way bigger than me. And I need a miracle." And you know, I find that as I pray out loud, and that's one of the things I do, you know, there's sometimes I'm pretending like I'm hunting. But it's me and God, and we're talking. "God, you know what? I prayed over my children. And I made a deal with you. I said, God, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll shovel manure in a barn. I don't care. But my kids belong to you. As for me and my house, we serve the Lord. And my daughter's not living for you. God, make your Holy Spirit so real, so powerful, that it drowns out all the stuff that's pulling her. into a life of destruction, into a life of bad choices. I can't do it, but you can. So I guess what? I'm getting back to praying out loud. Are you okay with that? We need to pray out loud because there's other voices, there's other things in our head. And as I pray out loud, I drowned out the rest of the world and it's me and God once again. So sometimes I'm not seeing any deer. Because deer don't like loud prayers. But man, me and God, we got it going on. Here's what I want to ask you, my dear friends. I believe God has sent me for one particular reason. What's the miracle you stopped asking God for? Today, you're going to ask for it again. You're going to shamelessly, persistently, and loudly call on God and ask Him again and again and again and again for that miracle. There isn't a person in this church today that does not need a miracle. But many of you, like me, have stopped praying for the miracle. Are you ready? You know what I've asked God for today? I've asked God to give you miracles. How did Job get healed? I believe that we get healing when we pray for others. We pray for miracles for them. Then God does the miracles for us. Last week, the week before last, because of the timing, my daughter came home and we had one of the most precious weeks we've had for a long time with our daughter. She's not made the journey all the way home yet. And I mean spiritually home. But by faith, she's coming.
Yes.
So I want you to rise to your feet. And if the worship team would come up, we're going to do something pretty bold today. Are you guys ready for something kind of bold? Are you ready to, I mean, when you experience a miracle, and the reason why I believe there's more miracles in other parts of the world is because we've become so self-dependent. But you know, it's not the doctors who have the final say. It's our Almighty God. When they say a baby's going to be severely handicapped, God says, oh no, she isn't. Because I have her hand. My hand on her. Okay? So if the worship team would come up, here's what we're going to do. And I want all the elders and the pastors, we're going to pray for miracles today. And deacons. Anybody who is a spiritual leader that wants to pray, I don't know if we have anointing oil, but I don't know what the miracle is, but God does. And we're going to pray and we're going to ask God for miracles. If you're up in the balcony and you want a miracle, take a step of faith and come on down here. And let's pray and seek God loudly, persistently, and unrelentingly for a miracle. And whether you see that miracle today, which I'm praying for miracles today, you can start to come now, or it's a week from now, a month from now, or 20 years from now, we're not going to give up, let up, or shut up asking God for miracles till He calls us home. That's what I've committed to. I've recommitted my life to never giving up, letting up, or shutting up until God calls me home. So if you want a miracle, if you've given up on a miracle, if you haven't seen a breakthrough in a miracle, and I want us to pray out loud that miracle. I want you to just make it a course. And dear church family in the pews, I want you to also raise your voice. And I want, there are miracles that need to happen today. And I want to encourage you to pray along. And I want to hear your voices. Pray to God and say, God, we come to you today shamelessly, persistently, and loudly asking you for miracles.
Now, friends, we have taught this congregation that an altar is where you do business with God. So the service is not dismissed. We've got about another 10 minutes and then we'll dismiss on time. But as Pastor Leon leads us in an appropriate chorus, if you're in need of a miracle, I want you to come and I want to invite you to do what Randy told you to do, and that is cry out to God. Unashamedly, cry out to God. You can come to these people, and these people can anoint you with oil, but they don't have to anoint you with oil. If you have a need for sickness, I'd say that that should be done, but that's not necessary. They just want to help you and pray with you, and we're going to call out to God. You that don't come, pray for those that are coming, and let Pastor Leon lead us in some more praise and some worship. And then at appropriate time, we'll dismiss the service. If you're here today and you know the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about this message and about a miracle, step out and come on the very first word as Pastor Leon leads us.
You are always fighting for us, heaven's angels all around. My delight is found in knowing that you wear the victor's crown. You're my help and my defender. You're my savior and my friend. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. At the mention of your greatness, in your name I will bow down. In your presence fear is silent, for you wear the victor's crown. Let your fill this temple. Let your power overflow. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. Hallelujah. glory to your name, O Lord. We bless your name, O Lord.
Become more.
more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory.
Comment or two, and then we must dismiss. Please understand, friends, if you go back and you study this in the scripture, you'll find it to be so, that where God showed up and did things in people's lives, Old Testament, or Jesus in the New Testament, or then in the New Testament church, post-Jesus, it wasn't always done in an orderly, restricted, refrained way. Jesus asked people to do crazy things, and when they did it, they were healed. And when a man got healed, he was running around the streets of Jerusalem with a mat tucked under his arm, praising God that Jesus had healed him. If you're going to put it in your little box and it's going to have to be dignified and be the way you think it ought to be, I'll tell you right now, you're going to miss a lot of God. You really, really are. And that's not saying that it has to be wild and woolly and, you know, rolling down the aisles and swinging from the chandeliers or anything like that. I'm just saying, this has been a good message today about crying out to God in your situation. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will seal this message in your life, in whatever situation you're facing. The Lord willing, next Sunday morning, we will continue our series, The Trigger That Traps. There was a tremendous move of the Lord at the close of last Sunday morning's message. I haven't gotten away from it, and I want to talk to you next Sunday under the title, Just Let It Go. It may be the most important message in this 8-Sunday series. Because next Sunday, I'm going to tell you what you do with offense. Jesus gives us only 2 replies to the subject of offense. You can either do it your way or you can do it the Lord's way. There are only 2. There aren't many others. There are only 2. And while I was in Traverse City this week, the Lord gave me just an idea of how the service is going to close next Sunday. And I'm so excited about it. I'm glad you were here today, but I said to my wife in the bathroom this morning, I wish it were next Sunday because I can't wait for the altar time next Sunday. Many of you raised your hands last Sunday saying, I'm carrying a bag of rocks. I had people in my office this week saying they talked about it as a family all week long. I am dragging around that bag of rocks. Next Sunday morning, I'm going to tell you what to do with that bag of rocks. Don't miss it. And invite others. Pray the Lord would bless you and keep you. The Lord would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. That God would grant unto you the spiritual desire to cry out to God for your given situation. Until someday, we're in his presence. Amen. God bless you. Have a good day.